Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big news for the Grizzlies out of the D-League. We'll talk about what looks like a new affiliate a lot closer to home, plus news and notes from a vigorous Grizzlies practice. You'll hear some sound from some of the Grizzlies as well. All of that as you listen in. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in Locked On Grizzlies for this Tuesday. Hi, everybody. How you guys doing out there? I'm going to leave this part blank for a second so you can tell me. In case you're curious, I'm a little under the weather. Got a little sinus thing happening. My little daughter's got something going on, and she's giving it to me. And so if you hear a little sniffle thing, or if I sound a little extra phlegmy, or God help us all, if I sneeze during this podcast, I'm so, so sorry. But I'm fighting through it as best I can. It's the dog days of this podcast, just like it's the dog days of the season for the Grizzlies. So we'll work through it together. How about that? Coming up, we've got some news. Interesting news, as a matter of fact. That will be fleshed out more later on today, or maybe even has already been, depending on when you actually listened to this podcast involving the Grizzlies and the D-League. We'll talk about that, plus a couple of notes from practice today, including the return of a long, long-awaited big man who's been out for some time. I think you can probably guess who I'm talking about. We'll get into that coming up as well. And we'll hear from David Fizdale about the situation the Grizzlies find themselves in right now. Also hear from some other Grizzlies too. So that's still to come. But as I mentioned, the news, the most interesting thing today comes from the D-League, where the Grizzlies have not... Now this is where it gets kind of weird, because the Grizzlies have not technically officially announced anything yet. Yet there is a story that was broken by Michael Wallace, who has done a very nice job. I love Mike. Mike's a great guy. And he broke the story, which, you know, makes sense, for Grind City Media, for Grizzlies.com. So on that part of Grizzlies.com, there is the story complete with quotes from John Hollinger, among others, confirming that the Grizzlies are going to have a D-League team in South Haven, starting next season. It will be their team. They will own and operate it. It will be, of course, the affiliate. It will be extremely close. It's excellent for many, many reasons. We'll get into it in a second. But it's funny that the Grizzlies have not officially announced it as a team yet, even though their officials have. It's on their website. So it's a very strange kind of, I don't know. And what's making this, you know, also interesting is that the Timberwolves have confirmed it on their end. The Timberwolves are taking over the Iowa Energy. They are buying, and they will run the Iowa Energy. And so that makes sense for them. That's, you know, Des Moines is obviously closer to Minneapolis than it is to Memphis, and it makes more sense for them going forward. Every team in the league would like to have their own D-League affiliate. You know, not just one, and it goes in layers. I mean, if you start at the very beginning, there were only a few D-League teams, and each of the Grizzlies types teams, any folks out there, all these teams would share affiliates. So you would have four or five teams that would have one affiliate. You'd send your players down, but you couldn't get the kind of teaching and player development that you wanted, because, you know, you have four different teams, five different teams or more that are working with this one D-League team. So how do you coach them? What style do you want to play? All that stuff, it all gets pretty muddled. Well, that's solved when you have a one-to-one relationship, and it's even better when you own the team, and that's where most of the D-League is headed now. I think that's the long-term situation, where the NBA team will own and operate their own D-League team, preferably as close to home base as possible. And for the Grizzlies, you know, they move their affiliation from Iowa to South Haven. I don't know the name of the team. Feel free to tweet me at Peter Edmiston if you want to throw any ideas out. But and they may have already announced. I have no idea if they're going to announce it or not. But that's the, you know, the fact that you have a D-League team so close to you, it really makes a huge difference. And you're seeing it already with a lot of teams that have their D-League affiliate very, very close to themselves. It just makes a lot more sense. You know, for example, Oklahoma City has its own team right next. It's in Oklahoma City. It's the Oklahoma City Blue, and it's right there. Same thing is true for, like, the Lakers, for example, and their squad. They have the Defenders, and they're in El Segundo, not very far away at all from where the Lakers play. So you send a guy down, and really it's, in actuality, it's just a short car trip. And that's the way it'll be for the Grizzlies. You can send a guy down for practice or for a game or something like that and then call him right back up. It's especially huge considering that, you know, starting next year you have those two-way contracts. So, you know, those are players that will be primarily D-League players but will have the option of playing up for the main club up to 45 days, I believe. They can spend 45 days with the main club. So it gives you, in the contract, bumps up during the time that player is with the big league team. So that gives you, again, more flexibility in terms of your players, and it allows, especially with the proximity, it allows that call-up to be really seamless. I mean, whereas when you send a guy like Jarrell Martin was sent to Iowa, I mean, you're sent to Iowa, which means you got to go find a flight to Iowa, you got to, you know, get the logistics, you got to go there, you know, it's a hassle. It's fine, but it's a hassle. And I think it you know, ultimately you suffer because you're not as close. It's not as easy. So bringing it in, and then you also get the fact that you can have a little fan support. You know, you have a lot more opportunity to really develop that fan support, especially when you send guys down, when you have like Baldwin and Troy Williams and Jarrell Martin and all that. If that was happening in South Haven, chances are you'd see a bump up in that attendance. I don't know if it, you know, I don't follow the energy attendance enough to tell you know, what the up down is, who affects it, I have no idea. But I would think that in South Haven, you got a great opportunity to really bump that up. You got a great opportunity to see a lot of folks really get into it because you're Grizzly fans. And if you got a night, you know, especially if you're in North Mississippi, and those fans are really supportive down there. They support the River Kings and all that stuff. I don't have any doubt that they'll find a nice home in North Mississippi, but also tons of fans from Memphis, the Mid-South, all that will come down there too from time to time. I'm not saying they're going to like break a bunch of attendance records at the Lander Center, but it's a nice facility down there. It's a nice opportunity. It all fits. It's really cool. It's a very nice thing, and I know that all of the ops folks down at FedEx Forum are really excited about that because it really does simplify the process so much. It just keeps everything really close to home, gives you a much easier time of monitoring all the guys that you're going to send down there, and it just makes the whole process, brings it all into one big kind of happy family. And you'll see that over the next few years. The D-League will expand. This new Grizzlies team will end up being the 23rd affiliate, and then there are two others I would expect that will join as well. They're, you know, depending on, you know, what the rumors out there about who those would be. And then the Hawks, for example, are bringing their own affiliate into College Park outside of Atlanta in the 2019-2020 season. So that will happen too. It will happen. I would think by then, there's probably a pretty decent chance that you're going to have all 30 teams with their own affiliate. And in that's a fair chance. I think that's going to happen. And when that happens, then for the next collective bargaining agreement, I think that you could start to get a little more expansion of D-League salaries potentially, and maybe have a better idea of what you want to do with the league long term. I think there is definitely that opportunity to expand out. I don't know that the money is going to ever be able to compete with the elite European or Chinese leagues or anything like that, but it can get up a little higher. It could definitely go up a little bit. So all this stuff is just continued growth. I think it's really good for the game. It's good for you if you like watching players develop. You're going to get a really good chance to go down and see some D-League action. So it's cool. I'm a big fan of it. Also, it was nice to see today at Grizzlies practice, which was, by the way, a very spirited affair, but everyone was in good spirits. Really, really, everyone was happy. The irritation and malaise and frustration and all that stuff of Saturday night had been replaced by some optimism and some smiles. So we'll see how far that goes as the Grizzlies play the Raptors coming up tomorrow night. And it's a Raptors team that is really, you know, struggling themselves. So this is two teams that desperately need to get a victory to kind of right the ship. Two good teams, but two teams that are going to need that victory. But anyway, at practice, Brandon Wright practiced for the first time in quite a while. You know, since he's had that strange sort of tendon injury that has been really problematic for him, he's just now getting back into it. But he looked good. I have to say, in the after practice session, we don't get to watch practice anymore. No one does really around the NBA, but in the window that we saw, as we walk in to do interviews and stuff, you know, generally the players are doing post practice shoot arounds, and sometimes they'll play one on one. Sometimes they'll just do little shooting games, things like that. And Deontay Davis and Brandon Wright were working with Marc Gasol, and Brandon Wright looked good. Didn't seem to have any extra tape or anything crazy on his ankle and foot area that were affected. Mobility looked good. The shot looked good. So it may be that he's going to be back pretty soon. There's no timetable. I wouldn't expect him back like Wednesday, for example. But, I mean, he looked good enough to where it wouldn't be crazy to see him back. Sometime on the road trip, probably, to get him back. And I think it would be vital, really, to get him back. It's obviously helpful to get him back as soon as possible, but especially given the fact that I think around the trade deadline, to if you feel confident that you can get Brandon Wright back and playing, then maybe that allows you to be more creative at the deadline, whether that involves a trade with Jermichael, whether it involves a trade with Brandon himself, Jarrell Martin, something like that. If you have that big and you see that he can play and you feel confident that he is back, then I think that frees you up a little bit with regard to those trades. So keep an eye on that. But I would think that Brandon Wright would be back pretty soon.
I got to address the media every time I cuss Mike Conley out. Or he cuss me out. You know, we'll be here only talking about that every day. So things are going to happen. We play with a great intensity, with a lot of passion, a lot of emotion, and we want to do great for our fans. And when we don't accomplish that, we get frustrated. So we got to do a better job of you know, all doing it at the same time. And as a collective effort, you know, everything's going to work out. I know that.
Those are the words from Marc Gasol at practice on Monday, having had 48 hours or so to digest the problematic game on Saturday against the Houston Rockets, and the much happier Mark, as I mentioned in the first segment of the podcast. The whole team was much happier in general. Mark saying, you know, if I have to talk to you every time I cuss somebody out, or, you know, cuss Mike Conley out, or he cusses me out, you know, we'll be here quite a bit. And that's true. These guys do get, I think that as I said yesterday on the pod, I think a lot of this stuff is overblown. I think it's nothing to freak out about. You know, guys do have squabbles and disagreements, and sometimes those get verbal and sometimes they get physical. That's not unusual. That happens with all teams. When it starts to poison the chemistry, when it starts to poison the relationships on a permanent basis, then you have a problem. You know, if it's just a one or two time thing and you get through it, that's fine. I mean, that's every relationship, marriages, friendships, all that stuff. You have your blow ups, you build up steam, and if you don't let that steam off, then it becomes really an issue for you. So I think that Mark is right about that. The dog days, as people say about this time of year, I think there's some truth to that. Although, you know, Mark disagreed, as you would expect Mark to do. That's his thing. But I do think that that's something to do with it as well. You've been with these guys for a long time, and there hasn't been really any break, and you've still got 3 weeks or so left before the All-Star break, the longest part of the season, all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that factors into it too, and you see a few teams around the league having the same kind of scuffles. And in fact, look at the results on Monday night, you know, with the Cavs losing and then the Warriors losing. You know, these teams that really good teams, but you sometimes have those kinds of nights, and sometimes it happens this time of year. So keep an eye on that. Talking with David Fizdale as well about a lot of this stuff, and he mentioned that, you know, he doesn't necessarily think this whole, you know, he kind of goes back and forth on this. I think he has faith in these guys. I think he has faith in his team. I think he has faith in the prowess of his team, but I think he's also a little bit befuddled like everybody else at the inconsistency of the effort that he sees. And he knows that, you know, it's been a weird time with the rotations just by nature of the injuries. You know, so many injuries, so many different situations with minutes restrictions. It's very hard. You can sympathize with a young coach, and the rotations have been mixed up. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you need to find a more settled rotation. I tend to agree with that. But David Fizdale says that's not really any kind of excuse.
It doesn't matter what guy you plug in, they should be able to do the job. You know, same defensive system, you take a bunch of young guys that we had running around out there about a month and a half ago, and we're the number one defense. So, you know, it's no reason why the guys coming back shouldn't be able to get that done. It's just effort and focus. And so I'm going to keep pushing them to be locked in and do those things so that we can become more consistent.
Always appreciate it when Fizdale says locked in. It's close. It's locked on. Grizzlies locked. But, you know, it's almost a plug, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Did you go back and listen to that one little section? Let me play that for you one more time.
You know, same defensive system. You take a bunch of young guys that we had running around out there about a month and a half ago, and we're the number one defense. So, you know, it's no reason why the guys coming back shouldn't be able to get that done. It's just effort and focus.
Now, that sounds to me like a coach more or less pretty gently, but more or less saying, hey, guys, play harder. Play harder more consistently, please. I would appreciate that. And, you know, that's what I mean by his frustration because, you know, personnel-wise, the Grizzlies have never been in better shape. This year, everyone is pretty much back with now Brandon Wright back in practice. You know, Troy Daniels is still day-to-day, but, you know, by and large, this roster is as healthy as it's been. You would think that that would coincide with an improvement rather than disappointment. You would think that that would coincide with an increase rather than a decrease in the quality of the performances, particularly on the defensive side of the ball with so many veterans, guys that have done it at a high level defensively for a long time coming back, but it has not worked out that way. And I do think that's very frustrating to David Fizdale. Now, there is another theory to it, you know, as opposed to just pure effort and all that, which I think there's definitely an element of effort to it. But, you know, these guys have played, you know, really high-level defensive basketball, as I said, for a while. It's not like they just forgot. It's not like they don't have any pride in what they do. They're very proud of what they do, and they should be. They're very proud of the numbers they've put up and the defensive reputation that they've achieved, and they should be. I thought Mike Conley said something interesting. I asked him about, you know, the fact that these systems take a long time. You know, there's been talk, depending on who you talk to and what exactly system you run, but it could take a year or even more of really constantly having it drilled into you to start to feel like it's second nature to play this way. And I asked him about if there was any, you know, anything that hesitation that guys would have naturally because of that. You know, how long does it take, especially with all the turnover? And I thought the answer was pretty instructive and might help to explain why some of the veterans, when they come back, it seems to actually kind of have a drag effect on the defense and why the young guys who haven't been Grizzlies very long seem to play maybe a little bit better.
Well, yeah, there's going to be hesitation and a lot of questions, especially coming from a group that's played a certain way for 7-8 years defensively. You know, we're still sometimes calling out calls from when Lionel was here, like, and I'm like, what is that? You know, why would you call that? You know, but it's just ingrained in us so deeply that, you know, it's harder for us to kind of change and figure that out. So for us to get out there, you can see guys a little bit hesitant on what to call or how to move their body or where to be in position just because you're still getting used to new calls and new positions and schemes.
So maybe that's part of it. You know, maybe that's part of the problem, that the guys that have been around here for a while have taken the scheme that has been mostly in place for 7 years. You know, stuff that Lionel ran, there were a few changes that Dave Yeager when Yeager took over as the head coach, yeah, there were a few changes, but nothing major. I mean, it's generally the same framework that the Grizzlies have been running for years, and a lot of the calls were the same. And now, you know, Fizdale comes in and overhauls the whole thing, changes quite a few ideas of what they want to do, changes some of the calls, changes some of the coverages, certainly changes the pick and roll scheme. And maybe it's just that it really is like so ingrained in them because they've been with the system for so long that they can't do it as quickly as the younger guys who haven't had that system ingrained in them, who are much more likely to do it naturally because that's just the only way they know, or they just don't know a way as strongly as the Grizzlies have. I don't know. That's one theory that maybe makes a little bit of sense. It would help to explain why otherwise really good players, you drop them in and things get worse. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Why Marc Gasol, you know, his defensive numbers are not as good as you might expect. I don't know. I don't know if that's part of it or not, but that's something that I think is at least a consideration. So that, how do you fix it? What do you do? Where do you go from here? So that's something that I asked Mark. You know, is the scheme, do you have faith and confidence that it's going to work out?
We're not going to get there if we don't believe in it and we don't work on it. And that's what we're doing right now. We believe in it and we're working on it. And we'll see, you know, where we end up at. But, you know, without that, I know for sure we can't get there. So I believe in it, and all the guys believe in it, and we're working on it. And it's just a matter of improving. That's the problem with inconsistency. If you don't do it every night, you can really work on it. So it's hard to improve because you don't know exactly what's hurting you. So if you're consistent with it, it doesn't matter if it works or not, you can always improve it. So, you know, that's what we're trying to find, the consistency point where we improve every night.
Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @PeterEdmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Napa
Know-How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.